The usual saying is that you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but when it comes to humans, you probably should. A month ago, I made a big leap and bought a house. I had just gotten a job promotion, which allotted me a lot more money and put me in a better financial position. I used to rent with my boyfriend Caleb, but I thought since the market was good, why not buy a house now? I had awesome credit, and the loan was there for the taking. Caleb was against it since my position is new and there's no telling what can happen, but I hate playing the waiting game. I prefer taking the leap of faith and worrying after. Caleb still rents his apartment in the city but joins me on weekends. He would have moved in if he'd had his way, but it's a much longer drive to his work. And to be real, I'm kind of glad he isn't living with me. It's good not to have him around all the time. He can be extra. Even after I moved out of his apartment and needed assistance, he prolonged the process endlessly. He frequently canceled and then joked about my moving out as an escape from him. Eventually, I had to call a moving company. He was livid and still is to this day. But I don't care. I still wear the scars from that argument, but I'd do it all over again to have my independence. My new neighborhood is more of a gated community where everybody is close, friendly, and somewhat private. When I first moved in, everyone was delighted to meet me because I was one of the youngest in the community. And by young, I mean 30 years old. When they visited my new home, they came with gifts. I can surely say I've met everyone within a 5-mile radius. Well, everyone except the neighbor next door, the notorious widower, Alex Horsford. He's the guy on the immediate right of my house. He's quiet and what everyone else calls him, a loner and a hermit. I see him almost every morning on my way to work. He always sits on the porch having his tea or attending to the small garden of flowers in front of his yard. He acts like an old man when he probably isn't a day over 40. According to Sharon, the neighbor on my left, Alex is not a people person. He has been this way for the past 2 years, ever since his wife died of cancer. He doesn't speak with anyone. He doesn't acknowledge them. He only stares. I learned this when I took it up on myself one afternoon to deliver freshly baked bread to his doorsteps. When I'm stressed from work or in life in general, I bake. Baking is the only thing that ever calms me. So when I baked a loaf and packaged it in a pretty brown bag, designed by me, of course, I headed outside and walked over to Alex's house. I knocked and I even rang the doorbell. He never came out. I knew he was there because he's usually at home, and his doorbell, which resembles mine, is equipped with a camera. Eventually, I walked away, but upon meeting my front door, I stopped. If everyone could abandon him, it would only confirm his feelings. Then and there, I made it my obligation to make him trust me. So I took my butt right back to his doorstep and rang the bell 6 times. I even took a seat on the porch swing. 10 minutes later, the door opened. And yes, I counted. I had never felt so happy about anything but that moment. I smiled. I smiled goddamn bright because it felt so good to see him at the door. And let me tell you, Alex Horsford is the man of the hour. He is breathtakingly handsome with his tapered beard and brunette hair. He's giving zaddy with his salt and pepper look, but he is young. And my God, it's sexy as fuck. His beauty was so overwhelming that I couldn't muster the courage to say anything. Alex waited by the door while I peered at him for an unhealthy minute. Honestly, I didn't know what to expect when he opened the door, and in addition to that, I didn't think he would be that alluring. I mean, I saw him from my house multiple times and he seemed okay, but up close, it was different. I cleared my throat and handed him the bread, which he refused. He didn't say no, but he did not attempt to take it. He just gawked at me as if I were some foreign being. We had a one-sided conversation where he did no talking at all, and I rambled on about myself, about things I liked, where I worked, why I moved in, and a brief introduction on Caleb, my boyfriend. I have no idea why I told him all of that. Maybe because I wanted to stay longer, hoping he would say something. But he didn't. Then, when I began telling him about how I renovated the bathroom, he snatched the bread and shut the door on me. It was rude, but at least he took the bread. I got it that he was tired of my rambling, I walked off grinning like a fool. Then the weirdest thing happened. 2 Wednesdays ago, I caught Alex looking at me from his balcony. I was in the bathroom stepping into the shower when I looked up and saw him staring at me. I peered back, of course, but so many things ran through my mind at that moment. Was he a creep? A sicko? Psycho? A pervert? How long had he been doing it? And was it the reason he slammed the door from our initial meeting? And to think that there were times when Caleb and I were having a go at it in the bathroom. Had he been watching then? The sad thing about it was that I never bothered to shut my curtains. I left them the way they were and took a bath. It's like some sick, twisted part of me wanted him to watch. I don't know what's wrong with me, but there's something about Alex I'm drawn to. I may have met him once, but it feels like we've crossed paths or something. It's Thursday night and I'm heading across the hallway for a shower when Caleb calls again. It's the 5th time for the day. He always calls to check in on me, and it's like clockwork. He is overly protective, and now that I live on my own during the week, his obsession with knowing what I'm doing has quadrupled. "Hey," I answer, shutting the bathroom door behind me.
"I was calling you. What were you doing?"
"I was grabbing something to eat, and now I'm heading into the tub."
"There's a reason why the phone is called a mobile, Freya. You can carry it with you."
"I just forgot it. I'm sorry." "I didn't forget it. I prefer solitude."
"Don't do it again. What if something happened to you?"
"This is a safe neighborhood."
"Everyone says that until something happens. If you continue to ignore my calls, then you're gonna force me to move in fully."
"I'm not ignoring," I sigh. "When I said I was happy he wasn't living with me, this is what I meant. Caleb can be tiring." "I'm sorry, I'll keep my phone with me."
"Good.
Now, can I go take a bath?"
"You can, just leave the phone running."
All the while I'm on the phone with Caleb, I know Alex is watching. It has become a routine where I shower or soak in the tub around 7 o'clock and he'll watch. Usually Caleb isn't on the phone, but now I have 2 audiences. I turn the pipe to fill the tub and toss the towel. I'm standing naked in front of the mirror with my lightly tanned back facing the window. From the reflection, I can see the lights on in the house, but not on the balcony. I know he's there because I can see his silhouette. For more than 2 years, this man hasn't had any action. This man hasn't been with a woman. And now, I am someone he looks forward to. I'm the next best thing to end his day. It sweetly stirs my insides to know that he chose me. According to Sharon, Alex is a computer engineer. He works from home, so I know he rarely goes out. He orders almost everything and has it delivered to his doorstep. So when I say I'm the most action for him, I mean it. I turn around slowly and stand at attention. Not being able to see him fully, but knowing he can see me, is like a high. I get turned on by this. I'm not shaven because that is how Caleb likes me, so there's a clear distinction where my pussy is.
"Freya?"
I jump. Fuck. I forgot Caleb had been on the line.
"Freya."
"Yes?"
"Are you finished?"
"No." There's shuffling in his background, and then he says,
"Why the fuck is it taking so long? Are you even in the tub?"
I went to get some clothes."
"I didn't hear the door."
"I left it open."
"Just hurry and get into the bath. I don't have all night. I'm tired."
So much for a happy ending. This is supposed to be a sexy bath where I can relax and play with myself while being watched by a handsome, sexy guy, but now I'm not in the mood. I should tell Caleb that I need to go, but I know he'll overthink things and turn it into an argument. I shut the curtains and head into the tub. I don't spend long. I just do what I have to do and get out. And by the time I've settled into bed and stayed on the phone with Caleb, we are half asleep. But the sad thing about all this is that I'm still thinking about Alex. I'd let him down tonight, and there's no telling what he'll do, whether he'll watch me again or completely block me out. Now, it's the weekend, and Caleb is staying at my home. He's like a hall monitor, watching my every move. I mean, he has always been this way. But ever since my situation with Alex, he's become even more of a nuisance. I want my space. I want to be alone without him telling me what to do, what to wear, and what to eat. When I said I loved the peace living alone, I meant not having to be his punching bag when he doesn't get his way. I adore Caleb, but he tends to be rather unkind most of the time, which is why I often find myself complying with his requests. Tonight, we order takeout. Well, I had cooked, but he said he didn't want my food and that he would order something for the both of us. When I tell him that we can simply order food tomorrow, Sunday, since I already cooked, he slaps me.
I get it that when you're alone in this house during the week, you think you run things, but don't you forget who's the fucking man around here.
I clutch my cheek.
If I say we'll order food, then we'll fucking order it. Understand?
I nod, still feeling the burn of his large hand.
Good. Now go wash up before our meal gets here. You smell like fucking fish.
The only reason I smell like fish is because I've been slaving in the kitchen all afternoon trying to make us a decent meal. Caleb knew I was cooking, but yet he waited for the last minute to order something. Sometimes he gets me so mad. I head upstairs, pressing the tears away from my eyes. It makes no sense for him to see me crying. He's going to say I'm soft and to pull myself together. I change and enter the bathroom with my robe. I lock the door behind me and flip the switch twice to let Alex know I'm here. I didn't see him yesterday, so it's going to be a miracle if he shows up today. I think after Thursday he's upset with me or something. I'm only doing this now, knowing that Caleb is downstairs because it's payback to him. Payback for letting me cook an entire fucking meal for nothing. As a matter of fact, I want this. I like Alex watching me. I like Alex, and he turns me the fuck on. The way Caleb makes me feel is below comparison to when I model naked for Alex. I move to the window and spread the curtains wider. It's the widest it has ever been. Now, he can see everything. To my surprise, Alex appears on the balcony. It's as if he was waiting for my signal. He knows I have company over because Caleb's car is parked out front. I wonder how it makes him feel to know that another guy is fucking me. Is it still much of a turn-on, like when I'm alone? I smile when I see his shadowy figure settle on the balcony chair. I think he's wearing a white t-shirt. I take a step away from the window and slowly loosen my robe. God. Just doing this and knowing that he's watching is ecstasy itself. It's like I'm the forbidden fruit, and I want to be picked by him. I want to be chosen by the quiet, handsome guy who still mourns his dead wife. I let the robe drop to the floor and stand there long enough for him to take a good look at me. And when I believe he might be pleased with what he's seeing, I turn on the shower and let it run. Knowing my boyfriend, he's going to want to know why there's no water. He can be forensic in everything. I begin touching myself, standing mid-center of the bathroom, and seeing that Caleb is downstairs without a clue of what I'm doing makes it so much better. I'm wet, I'm dripping, I'm also ovulating. So when I take a wide stance and touch myself down there, there's a long trail of my essence on my fingers.
Freya?
Shit. Caleb rattles the door handle.
Why is the fucking door locked? Freya.
Yes?
Open the door. Since when do you lock doors?
Just a second. I'm in the shower. He rattles the door again and I scramble for my robe. Then he hits it hard.
Open the door.
Caleb bursts inside the instant I unlock it. He scans the room as if he's expecting to see someone. Like another guy.
What were you doing?
I told you. He gives me a once-over and narrows his eyes.
You're dry, Freya.
He steps closer, and I step away.
You just told me you were in the shower, but you're dry as fucking ice.
I dried off.
Liar!
He moves in front of me and takes a long sniff.
You still smell like that fucking fish.
I stay silent. It makes no sense to dig myself deeper. This is only going to get worse. Caleb grabs me by the shoulder.
What were you doing, Freya? Answer me. I do not want to be in a mood tonight.
I blink up at him.
All right, have it your way.
My face stings with his slap.
don't make me do it again.
He lifts his hand. Okay, I was touching myself.
What the fuck for when you have me?
He reaches for my hand and smells it. Then he smiles.
Were you thinking of me?
I nod.
My God.
He whips around.
Why the fuck is it so windy in here?
I don't know. But when Caleb turns around and sees the wide open window, his face turns a ghastly gray. He moves to the window and stares outside. Oh God. He points out the window.
Who the fuck is that?
Who?
Don't you play?
His eyes bulge.
Is that what you've been doing? Touching yourself for him to see?
Who? What are you talking about? I don't see... My eyes dart to the window. He's there. Alex is still there. He's seeing us. He's seeing this. Caleb follows my line of vision again and scowls at me.
So all this time while I wait for you to bathe, you've been displaying my goods to some fucking pervert? Jesus fucking Christ. How long?
What are you talking about? Caleb launches for my throat and squeezes.
Bitch, I will kill your slutty ass.
Air no longer reaches my lungs. I fight him. I grapple for his arms. He squeezes tighter.
How dare you, you loose bitch.
My vision hazes, then Caleb thrusts me away from him. And before I can scream, he punches me in the face.
Hey Raiders, you have met the end of The Neighbor, Part 1. Stay tuned for Part 2. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share. See ya. Bye.